It is November 7th. This is Sean McCord at the 2015 The Virginia Film Festival. I'm sitting across from Scott Hayes and James Maul. Thank you for helping me pronounce your names right. They are the filmmakers behind Mully, which screens tonight, Saturday at 7:45 at the Dickinson Center up at PVCC. Scott, you're the director. James, you are the producer. Let's start with, let's just talk about the film Mully, M-U-L-L-Y, which is named, it's a documentary about, well, you tell me what it's about.
The film is this is Scott talking. I don't know if you have to announce yourself on your podcast. It's a film about a man named Charles Mully and his wife Esther, mm-hmm. and what they built and created in Kenya. But it starts earlier than that, from when Charles was a boy. He was abandoned and left for dead by his own family, and he became a street orphan and a street beggar. And he worked really, really hard, and long story short, he became eventually one of the most wealthy men in Nairobi. He, in terms of running the oil industry, and one fateful day, he decided to change things around and made a decision to quit all of his businesses and quit working for money. And he did it. He that night,
James, take it. Do you see why Scott needed someone with him to help edit down the 600? How many hours of footage was it?
Hours. No. I'm just looking around. We're in this. Where are we right now? Are we in a coffee shop?
We are in the Whiskey Jar.
We're in the Whiskey Jar.
The Junior Film Festival Central. And we're going to get back to that.
I always feel weird. Let me explain why it's hard for me to pitch this over the podcast. I always feel like I'm going to tell the whole movie or something. I want people to see this story.
People should absolutely come see the story.
This man has adopted 10,000 children and saved 10,000 children from death on the streets. He's created sustainable farming. He's created a model that it can be looked at and examined and implemented across the world. But more than that, what he's done is a complete journey of selflessness that's remarkable. And it goes beyond anything I could tell, that I really just want people to watch the movie. So anytime I'm asked, what's the movie about? It's such an epic story that I kind of just start bumbling for my words. But
you do need an elevator pitch. The film we're talking about is Mully. It screens tonight, Saturday, 7:45 p.m. at the PVCC Dickinson Center. James, why don't you step in and talk about your role in the film?
Scott and I've been making documentary films for years, mm-hmm. and Scott had come to me about making a documentary together. He was going to direct a film, and at the last minute he gives me a call and he says, forget it, I'm not doing that. Okay, so I'm getting on a plane, I'm going to Africa. What? Because this other opportunity came up, I'm going to go shoot a documentary in Africa. It's an amazing story, I'll be back in how long? I don't know, however many weeks. Comes back. Starts to cut the film together. Scott goes off to do a play, because Scott is a very accomplished actor. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot on stage, done a lot of movies. He goes off to do some other work. He's working with an editor who puts the film together. They bring me in to look at it, and I fall in love with this story. It is, like you said, you have to see it. I can understand why Scott has a hard time pitching it a little bit, because there's so much to it, and it's really profound. But I said, I'm in. This is an amazing story. And that's the hard part in the documentary field, is finding the incredible stories and incredible characters. And Charles Mully is still alive, so Scott was able to interview him and his family and tell this story. It's pretty remarkable.
Scott, how do you go from being an actor to becoming a documentary filmmaker? What drove you in that direction, and then what pulled you to this story?
Well, I think that, you know, with acting is one of the things that I tell everybody, that they could probably go be actors if they wanted to be actors. Mm-hmm. It takes just a lot of, there's no fear to look like an idiot when you first start acting. Like, you just kind of have to do it, and you know you're not a good actor, but you're going to try, and you go to acting school,
right.
And you do plays, and you know you're not the greatest actor, but you one day, hopefully, you can be like Pacino or Duvall or Brando or one of these actors. Probably some of the kids don't even know who those actors are anymore, but when it came to documentary filmmaking, is I just kind of jumped in. I felt like I knew how to tell a story. I've been doing this a long time. I own a theater in Los Angeles. I've been writing plays for many, many years, mm-hmm. working on many films as an actor. So the guy who's behind the movie is a man named John Bardis, and I got done with a movie called Child of God, which actually was at this festival, too. I was here a few years ago with Child of God. And I met a wrestler named Lee Kemp, and I said, that's a remarkable story about how an African-American really went through a lot of there was a lot of things up against him, and he went through a lot of racial racial profiling, and he became one of the most successful wrestlers in our country, and then he couldn't go to the Olympics. So I first, because of the 1980 boycott, so I ended up interviewing this man, John Bartis, who was his roommate, and I just said, I can tell that story without thinking, oh, there's a skill to documentary filmmaking.
Well, that's an interesting approach, because as an actor, as a producer, as a filmmaker, you are a storyteller. And you're just choosing sort of a different path, a different venue each time. But in many ways, I can see it's the same set of skills. And coming to the Virginia Film Festival is something of a homecoming for you. You're a Charlottesville boy. You grew up here. You went to the Miller School. You first did your acting chops here. Tell us about growing up here. Tell us about
It's funny. I was walking down the hallway with my girlfriend. I was a junior in high school at the Miller School.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a few girls at the high school at that time, because I don't even know if they have girls. I don't know what the system is now at the Miller School, but I was a big sports guy, so I played soccer and basketball, and I saw it said auditions for this play.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how the whole acting thing started. And I said, I can do that. Kind of how documentary filmmaking started. I said, I can do that.
You were showing off to a girl.
Well, not showing off. I mean, I really was always intrigued. I always liked film.
Yeah.
And so I went in there and I auditioned. I got the leading role and I got another role. So I played a woman in the play. I played a maid. And I got the leading man role in the same play. And it was the first acting I did.
Wait a minute. What was that play?
I think it's called Cheaper by the Dozen, actually.
Sure.
I can't. Do you know that play?
I remember the novel.
I don't know if it's based on the novel. It was a very troublesome play looking back on it. And then that kind of started me enjoying acting and thinking I could do this. And the next year we did A Midsummer Night's Dream, and then we did a play called The Butler Did It.
Mm-hmm.
I interned at there's a theater here called, I think, Three Arts. Do you know this theater in Charlottesville?
You mean Live Arts?
Live Arts.
Yeah.
So I internshipped, I was 16, 17 in Charlottesville, going to this theater for a few months and just learning, and one day thinking, oh, this might be something I really, really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
The theater, I love the energy in the space. There was just people I could relate to and connect to. And mind you, I'm still playing sports, so I'd sneak away from my my crew, and I'd go to this theater, and I was getting like the best of both worlds, because I still love to play sports and I still follow sports, but I just really, really, really love the theater. And today, it's just interesting that looking back on it, that was my first experience in a theater doing a play. It started here in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
And now I own a theater. And
tell us about that. What's the name of your theater in L.A.?
The theater's the Sherry Theater. I built it 10 years ago in Los Angeles in North Hollywood.
In North Hollywood. Okay.
I named the theater after my mom. It's called Sherry Theater, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing something interesting. After 10 years of kind of cultivating a good group in Los Angeles, we're forming a new venture called Rattlestick West.
Oh, you're part of Rattlestick West?
Yeah, Rattlestick West is, I'm one of the founders. I'm the artistic director of Rattlestick West.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we just formed it. Rattlestick in New York is a longtime playwright.
Yeah, yeah.
David Van Asselt's actually driving down from New York today.
I had just heard that they were expanding. That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I did a play with the Rattlestick last summer in New York while making this film. So I would go to New York and I'd fly back to work on Mully for a few days and go back to New York. And I really hit it off with David. He's cultivated some of our country's greatest playwrights, from Adam Rapp to Stephen Belber. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have a similar interest in cultivating and working with good playwrights and making scripts better. And he said, why don't we work together? And I said, you know, James Franco was there, who's one of my closest friends, who I kind of grew up with in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So we all kind of came up with the idea of forming Rattlestick West, which we would start out of my theater in Los Angeles, and then see where it goes. And now there's a lot of exciting things going on with Rattlestick West.
Oh, that is awesome.
I think we just announced what we're doing, but it's going to get pretty exciting really soon.
Well, we could go on about that, but let's just go back to the film.
Yeah.
We're talking about Mully. I'm talking to Scott Hayes and a little bit to James Mull. The film is Mully.
He said a little bit to you. Did you catch that?
Appropriately so.
By the way, James is a...
Let's hear about James.
Let me tell you a little about James. James, when he stepped in and helped me with the movie, I had a 3-hour cut. I had 400 hours of archive footage. Like kind of how I started acting and doing documentary films is I just knew I could do it.
Yeah.
I knew, but I had to learn a few things. And he really taught me a lot about storytelling in this platform. My one of my first cuts really kind of told you why this story is important, why you need to hear about Charles Mooley's life, why you need to learn about MCF, and then the story started. And he came in, and I had to really trust him and his instincts about the edit.
Yeah.
So now the story evolves. The film wouldn't be what it is today without him. I mean, he's an Oscar, Grammy, and Emmy-winning artist. So, and I love his movies, and we get along really well, and I learned so much about how to approach storytelling from him that actually I can learn, I can take to all mediums, whether it's playwriting, whether it's even acting in certain ways.
Yeah.
There's a lot that I learned from him, so I'm really grateful he's here in Charlottesville with me, and we made this movie together. I mean, I had Alyssa Shea as my other creative producer. She was with me in the editing room the whole time. Lucas Binkin worked tirelessly with Sterling Light Productions, and Ben Wallfish is our composer. Should give a shout out to him. He is the music. I'm so proud of the music in the movie, and he killed it. It's beautiful.
So you're taking this film on the festival circuit. Where else have you been?
We just premiered in Austin.
Nice.
The Austin Film Festival. So this is our second. This is our East Coast premiere.
Okay. Well, excellent. Well, thank you for being here. So do you have something else in the pikes? Something else you're lining up?
James is going to leave the documentary world.
He's never going to leave.
Yes, he is.
Just going to dabble in the scripted world for a bit.
He's going to do.
I can never give up documentary.
Well, he's not going to leave, but he is going to do some scripted movies as a director. It's exciting what he's going to do. I'm excited to see him do that. Maybe we'll do one together.
All right, we're talking to Scott Hayes, James Mull. The film is Mully. It's tonight, 7:45 at the Dickinson Center up at PVCC. After the screening, you leave us. How are people going to find out about the film? Other places it's screening? Do you have a
website? www.mullymovie.com.
Mully. www is probably not necessary. So, but we'll put it out there.
Is that how you say it?
Well, no, that's how you say it. Yeah, so, mullymovie.com.
How do you say it if you're on it? How do you do it?
Well,
say you're pitching your podcast. How would you say it?
I would say sevillepodcast.com.
Okay.
Nobody does www.
You go to mullymovie.com, mullymovie on Twitter. We got a Facebook page. All that stuff's legit. It's all real. It's happening.
Excellent. Thank you for coming by. Thank you. Welcome back to Charlottesville. James, welcome to Charlottesville.
Thank you.
I hope you're enjoying yourself. Thank you for bringing the film here. Again, Mully screens tonight, Saturday, 7:45 p.m. up at the Dickinson Center. Have you been up to the Dickinson Center, by the way?
We screened Sound and the Fury there last year.
Oh, you did? Okay.
The Faulkner novel we turned into a film.
Yeah. It's a great facility, so listeners, go up on the hill, go to PVCC. It's a great way to see film. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming by. And next film, we'll see you back here, right?
Yeah, I'll be back every year.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, Scott.